Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and this is Dr. Joanne White, and I am so excited to be here today and to be sharing the show with you, and we have a really special guest. And so many of us have ideas about what angels are, and whether it's been in religious literature or spiritual literature or metaphysical literature, and many of us have even believed and can attest to the fact that they have been in contact with an angel, even an angel on this earth. Well, today we're going to really do something very extraordinary, and I love it. And we're going to talk to a colleague of mine and a friend, Tony Petrinovich, who is a master teacher, coach, a mystic, and a quantum physical researcher, who has a doctorate in metaphysics. She's the owner of Sacred Spaces in the San Juan Islands, and I'm waiting to be invited there. Tony is a clairvoyant, clairaudient, and kinesthetically aware of the invisible world like myself, and she assists others to access these dimensions. Through the heart, the voice of the soul, she teaches people the value of absolute forgiveness through her ritual of absolution. Tony's been interviewed by the Fusion Network, Dr. Pat Show, BBS Radio, and other global radio shows, and been widely published in Sedona Journal, the DNA Monthly Newsletter, Mystic Pop Magazine, just to name a few of those. And she is the author of this outstanding book that we're going to talk about that just is a call to awakening, and that's sort of what the title is. It's The Call, Awakening the Angelic Human, and it also has a CD which is called DNA Reawakening, and also so many other things, but we're going to focus on this today. And so without further ado, I want to introduce to you Tony Petrinovich. How are you, Tony?
I'm fine, Joanne, and thank you so much for the lovely introduction. I just wanted to kind of, you said one thing that made me go, oh, you said I was a coach, and I have to admit that I don't like the idea of coaching. I like the idea of teaching. I'm a teacher, and that's not to correct you in any way, but just to say teaching someone the basics of what it is to be an angelic human and to walk this earth with their message unfurled is like my passion. And once I teach someone how to do that for themselves, it's kind of like a story about teaching somebody to fish. Boy, you can just let go and watch them expand in a bazillion different ways. Because the difference between like an angel and an angelic human is this, just to kind of lay a little foundation here. When we talk about angels, we think religiously usually. You know, almost all religions have angels in them. And it's like somebody coming from another dimension, you know, with wings floating down to do something. Actually, the word angel means messenger. That's what the etymology of it is. So when you're talking about an angelic human, you're talking about a human being who has a message. And the word human, interestingly enough, it's broken up into two pieces. The word hu is an ancient form of the word God. And man, of course, is homo sapien, which is the wise man, which, of course, includes woman. So you've got source God in the form of the human homo sapien with a message. I mean, how much more beautiful can that be?
Which actually is incredible, because that really, we all are that if we would awaken to that aspect of ourselves. And I love your distinction between teacher and coach, because like you said, once you teach somebody something, it's something that's within them that they have their access to within themselves and that they can utilize and shift and develop and make their own. So that's very, very powerful. Let's get right into this, though, because this is incredibly fascinating. And just give me a little idea here of, firstly, how did you connect? How did you understand that aspect of angelic human? How did you come to this idea?
Well, it's kind of a interesting and, speaking of fascinating, story, because I was actually painting my bedroom. This was back in 2002. And I was painting my bedroom, and just a little preface, I've been able to see beyond this dimension since I was born. This isn't something I've learned. I came this way. I have to say I came prepackaged. So it's always been my experience to be in more than one frequency dimension than this one at a time. I'm just always there. So I'm aware of when information from a different place, quote unquote, is coming to me. And I was painting my bedroom, and it was a long, long process. And this is in the beginning of my book, The Call. I describe this. And I finally got it done. And I was walking down the hallway to go into the kitchen to get some water, and I felt the feeling come of, here comes some download of information, but I certainly wasn't looking for it because I was just hot and sweaty. And this information flowed into me, and what I heard within my inner ear was, go and type this. Call it The Call. So I finished getting cleaned up and everything, and I sat down and made myself some notes because I didn't want to start typing right then. But the next day I did, and the book itself, this was in, I think it was September of 2002. By December, the book was published. It was so fast. I didn't have to think of anything. The only part of the book that I added that I already knew was the chapter on explaining DNA so that people can understand DNA. But the information just literally was handed to me by my higher self.
Isn't that wonderful when that happens? Because I do that. I do a lot of writing too, and it's so incredible when it's almost downloaded, like we say, and there you are. You're in a way you're a conduit for this incredible information. What's the difference between a human and an angelic human? Is there a difference? Are we all angelic humans? I think this is a major question for today.
And this is something I really want the listeners to pay attention to, because
good.
I love to challenge people, not in a way like taking them on, but I like to challenge people to say, okay, you know how wonderful you are, you know how expansive you can be. Okay, there is so much more. There is so much more. Will you be willing to accept this? Every human being has the capacity to be an angelic human, because each of us came here with a message. And it doesn't make any difference what the message is. When I say message, I don't mean that you have to stand in, you know, on a stage in the Rose Garden and, you know, give a big speech. I mean your frequency, your life is your message. And each of us knows inherently what our message is. But most of the time, because the message is the harder part of our life, so to speak, we turn away from it. So when you come into life and you have, say, for instance, experience after experience after experience of, say, betrayal or what appears to be betrayal, you can know that your message is absolution, so that you absolve the other person, so that you completely forgive the other person. Whatever's happening in your life is the essence of your message. So every human being has the capacity to first embrace their message. I always say it's a two-sided coin. First is the side for the angelic human who is coming into the awareness of their message. Then there's the side for the whole that they're giving back. And when each person embraces in their life whatever is going on, and it doesn't have to be the hard part, but it usually is, then they begin to become aware of their message.
Isn't it true, though, that oftentimes people sort of know, they know what they've been through, whether it's been a lot of different challenges, like you mentioned, in terms of infidelity or just – ways that they need to actually forgive somebody or have absolution. Isn't it true that many people, though, do not do avoid that? And I'm not discounting the fact that some people aren't even at that level of awareness, but some people really decide that I'm not going to pay attention to that. What do you tell those people who kind of are not listening or are not attending to their message and may say, well, I don't know what that message is?
Well, first of all, it isn't paramount. I mean, there's no judge. God, there's no God up there judging us like the churches teach us. So it isn't paramount that you express your message. Nothing's going to happen to you that's quote-unquote bad if you don't express your message, short of the fact you're going to be very uncomfortable. If you make the decision to not pay attention, what I have experienced in life, I'm 65, so I've seen a bit of life, so to speak. Life is going to keep bringing it back around to you. Life is going to keep sticking it in your face. And you can continue to decide to ignore it, or you can decide at any time in your life to take it on. But you can't get away from it because it's your vibration. You know, everybody talks about the law of attraction, and it has so much great press, as well it should. And yet the law of attraction is stimulated by our frequency. I teach metaphysics via quantum physics, so I teach all about energy. And energy sends its transmission out based upon what you're feeling first and then your thought. So whatever you're feeling is what you're transmitting, which means that if you're feeling strongly about wanting to avoid something, it means that the feeling is so strong and you're so uncomfortable in that feeling that you won't look at it, which means that you're transmitting that constantly, which means that it can only keep coming back to you.
You know, it's so interesting because you're so right on, and you and I both work with energy and understand that beautifully. But there are people who, like you say, who are constantly living over and over again a particular message, whether it is about lack or about loss or anger or needing absolution or being able to do that. And if they would only pay attention and kind of, like you said, I love the word you used, embrace, as Tony says, embrace the message, there would be more of a sense of freedom and a sense of lightness and the ability for them to move forward. What's your message, Tony? What's your angelic message?
My message is absolution, and that's why I used it as an example. I've lost count, experiences in my life of being betrayed on business level, personal level, marital level, you name it, of this sense of, I believed it was this, you said it was this, you acted this way, and really it was that, which put me in some very, very uncomfortable positions. And I realized, actually it came to me fully in 2000, I think it was 2000, I went to the UK with a girlfriend, and we went to the Chalice Well. And the Chalice Well is very beautiful, and it has all kinds of places to sit and meditate, and they have a meditation room, and it's gorgeous. And none of it was calling to me, and I was wondering why. I was just kind of walking around looking at everything, and I found this place behind these potted ferns where they, like, stored their extra bricks and their shovels, and there was, like, this drainage ditch for the extra water coming out of the well. And I thought, it's this place. I want this place. So I told Joy, you know, you go and look around. I'm going to sit. So I sat behind these potted ferns where nobody could see me. And I immediately went into this altered state. And I heard, only through absolution will you reach the absolute. And I realized that so long as you believe there is anything between you and another person that you cannot absolve, which means there is no wrongdoing versus forgiveness, so long as you believe that, you have separated yourself from God, because we're all source and form. So long as you can't absolve something, then you're saying, well, it's all God, but it's not God over there.
And you know, it's interesting. Go ahead.
When I came out of that, I created a ritual that is a ritual of absolution that's posted on my website.
Now, is that available for everybody?
Yes, on the Sacred Spaces website. It's just on, in the navigational bar on the left. It says Absolution, and it's in text, audio, and video format. It's free. It's just there to use. It's wonderful.
Okay, great, because so many people do need that, particularly in this particular energy, vibrational time that we're in. And we can also do that for ourselves, so it's very important. So once you got that message, and that message is still coming, you know, still coming through because you get those messages that way, do you know what other people's messages are? So if somebody called up today and said, what's my message? What's my angelic message? Would you have the key to that? Or is it more about people really kind of going in and getting that for themselves?
Well, yes, to both parts of that question. Yes, they can go in and get it for themselves. Most likely they already know it. And yes, I also get it. That's what I do when I do angelic human readings. I ask a person for their birth date only because we tend to come in like waves of groups of messages. And when somebody tells me how old they are by their birth date, then it gives me a rough idea of what their message probably is. Doesn't mean that it's going to tell me the message, but it gives me a kind of a starting point. And then I go into their soul fabric, as I call it, and ask their higher self for their message. And then I record that. When I do an angelic human reading, I record it. And I record their message for them. I don't do readings on the phone. I don't do them in person. I just get the information and I sit in my office and I let go and I record it and I burn it to a CD or send it as a file. But yes, I do get the message.
So those readings are all about the angelic message, or is there more?
They're about the message that the person has brought in and how to best exhibit that message from where they are in their life right now.
Great, because everybody's at a different place. So what led you, I mean, obviously from what you were saying, you've come into this lifetime with these gifts, and a lot of people can learn, I teach this as well, a lot of people can actually learn how to access some of these gifts, but you came in with that really very strongly and very much there in terms of clairvoyance, being able to connect with the other world, the other vibrations, other dimensionalities. So my question to you is, how did you know what you were supposed to do with this early on, or did you? Were you given clues to that even before you went to that place and got that information?
Well, you know how life kind of wedges you into a corner, so to speak. When I was 5, my father was killed in a hunting accident, and he was getting ready to run to be governor of the state of Nevada, so we were living in this big mansion with servants and all this kind of stuff, and kind of a dynasty life. And my mother came into the bedroom and announced that Daddy is gone, he's not coming back. She didn't say he was dead, she just said he's gone, he's not coming back, and you're the father now. And I remember thinking, oh, now it begins. And just took it on. And by father, she meant you're going to, you know, carry in the groceries, mow the lawn, make sure that the furnace works, you know, all that kind of stuff. And from that standpoint, it was just her, my sister, and me. So it wasn't that big of a job, but it just seemed very natural. And at the same time, I had this other world. I had this constant intermix with this other invisible world. Not like the invisible friends, but I mean, I just was always living in more than one dimension. And we were Catholic. So as I continued to grow up, by the time I was 12, I thought, you know, this is not going to work this way, so I'm going to ask to go into the cloister. I'm just going to become a cloistered Carmelite nun, because then I'll just be able to be on the other side visibly, and no one will question me when I'm, you know, saying something they don't understand. And so my mother asked the bishop at the time in Reno if I could enter the cloister in the summer between my 12th and 13th. Year, as far as school was concerned, to see if I'd like it. And he said yes. So I was all excited. And the evening she announced this, she announced it at dinner with my sister, and in the same breath said, and by the way, I've bought horses. And I said, where are we keeping horses? And she said, oh, you know, Goldie Lope, she's got this ranch out there at the edge of town, and she said we can keep our horses out there. So your sister and I will be riding horses all summer long while you're in the cloister, and I'll hold your horse for you for when you come out. Well, what 12-year-old girl doesn't want a horse? mother, a very smart woman. So I was saved and rescued from the cloister and ended up writing. I thought, well, if I can write out in the desert all summer long, I'm not going to complain. This is fine with me. I don't have to, you know, try and explain myself to anybody. So that saved me from that. But after I finished high school and I went to business school in Reno and I finished there, I moved to San Francisco. And I met a holy order that was non-denominational based on Catholicism and Eastern mysticism. And when I met the master teacher of the Holy Order and told him about myself, he said, not only are you where you say you are, I can take you further. And we became like best friends. And once I entered that Holy Order for 2 years, I stayed there for 2 years, I realized that what I was experiencing was not only me, there were other people experiencing it as well. And that was my real jumping off spot. I was 20 years old. And I thought, oh, okay, here's a foundation for me. And from that time on, after I left, I started teaching in the Holy Order, and then after I left the Holy Order, I just continued on and, you know, with my life and creating different courses and different ways to teach. So it was really having somebody who was already aware of what I was experiencing tell me that, yes, this is real for more than just you, and here's some more information to go along with it.
You know, it's interesting, Tony, because there are so many parents and there are so many gifted kids who come in like you with so much awareness and so much information and access to other worlds, other information beyond this physical plane. And yet many, you know, I've worked with some of these children. I've also worked with the parents. And initially, many of the parents, if they're not understanding, try to cut it off, or maybe they're afraid of it or whatever. So my question to you is, did your mother know about these gifts that you had, and how did she receive them or help you with them, if she did know?
I don't really know how much she knew from the standpoint of understand. She knew I was different, but she did not assist me. In fact, she was adversarial to me, and not in a way that is abusive. I don't mean she hit me or hurt me, but she would put me in positions. She was trying to make me be the father. She put me in positions that were very difficult, and because of that, I became extremely strong. So I don't look at it as, oh, Mom, why did you do this to me? I look at it as, oh, Mom, thank you so much. The strength I have today is because of you and the way I was raised. What did happen as I got to be older was that my belief system frightened her to the point that when she died, which was in 1994, I was not at her deathbed, even though all the relatives wanted me to be there and to travel back to Reno, and because I'm in Washington State now, and, you know, spend time with her as she was dying, because I knew how afraid she was of me. She saw me as hell. She was an old-time Catholic, and to her dying breath was old-time Catholic. And the thing that was really interesting, and listeners will really enjoy this, well, my relatives were berating me for not showing up and telling me how much I was going to regret it, and I said, no, I'm not. I will not frighten my mother, who is waiting to be welcomed by the arms of the angels, and have someone walk into the room on her deathbed who just terrifies her. I'm not going to do that to her. After my mother died, I went to the funeral, came back home, got into bed. It was probably like, say, a week after her death. And all of a sudden, Joanne, I had a feeling that I'd never had ever. It was as though somebody had taken a great big velvet blanket and was unrolling it from my toes all the way up my body to my neck and then just stopping. It was so beautiful. And I thought, what is this? And all of a sudden I knew it was motherly love. It
oh,
was
wow.
The love of a mother that I had never had while she was alive.
You know, it's interesting because she probably got that information about what you were doing after the fact when she was able to really get a broader idea of just everything. And so
exactly.
what a blessing. We have somebody who would like to speak to us. Are you okay with that?
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Okay. So hold on a moment. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, well, maybe they just want to listen, which is fine if somebody just wants to listen. Looks like they had a question. Okay, so back to that. I think, you know, so many people, like you and I, worked with a lot of people who do access information and teach them how to go further on that specific journey. And many people have reported to me, and I experienced that myself too, when a dear person has departed, a loved one has kind of gone to the next, you know, passed over, that they often experience, not what you did, you had this beautiful blanket, but they experience a presence or information or oftentimes a dream wherein that person that died has come back to give them information or just to let them know that they're all right or just to give them a sense of peace about the whole other world and the journey. So I think that's wonderful that was your mother's way of kind of making amends and coming to a place of peace with you. Question here. Can anybody be I think we covered this, but can anybody be an angelic human? My sense is yes, but let's ask, somebody's writing this information, so maybe they didn't tune in. How do you respond to that?
Yes, anybody can be an angelic human because we each come with a message, like I was explaining before, that angel means messenger and human means God, man, and also woman. I think one of the things, and I think all the listeners will agree with this, that makes it difficult to express or to embrace or to even acknowledge your angelic humanness is your fear of what others will think, especially if you are a person who was raised in a religion or was raised by parents who had specific beliefs or were fairly strict, or you are in a relationship / marriage that has a spouse who will not be supportive or condoning of what you are experiencing. And I know that a lot of people come to me for readings, and a lot of people come to me who take my courses who say things like, I can't let my spouse know I'm doing this. I'm going to end up losing my parents if they find out that I had this reading and this type of thing. While I personally just leave that alone because it's between them and those other people, when we are in positions with human beings that are uncomfortable because we're as much animal as we are spiritual, these are animal bodies and they're really old and they haven't been upgraded at all, there is a desire to retreat. And the angelic human is being asked not to do that. And I don't mean to assertively or aggressively put your belief systems on somebody else. What I do mean is to open your heart, literally, to the realization that person or persons are only expressing out of fear. And when we stay coherent, which means the troughs and the crests of the wavelength are equal, the ups and the downs are equal, when we stay coherent within our own well-being, our harmony, our peace, the other person naturally, they can't stop it. It happens within the very nature of them, wants to be coherent as well and to be in union with you, which means that you have to put aside the fear and relax into what your message is and open yourself to the other person so that they can begin to understand that it is possible to feel differently and to not be afraid. And for some people, this is a big step.
I think it's a very big step. A lot of people are living in fear, Tony, and I think, too, that you're giving that other person, just to follow your train of thought, you're giving that other person the option, the opening to shift out of fear, but it's really, you know, ultimately it's their choice and it's their decision. Tell us a little bit about your book.
My book, The Call, is made up of maybe three sections. The first section is about how I got the message and also what happened subsequent to that, because at the time I had two dear women who were very close to me. Since that time, we've kind of all gone off on our paths of doing different things, and we still are in communication, but we're not as close physically as we were, who assisted me in some meditations to bring in more information based on the information that was originally downloaded. The second part of the book is about the angelic human, and then the third part is about DNA and how you can work with that. So you get much more than just the story of the angelic human in the book. And there's also some exercises in the back that relate to bringing in more information for yourself as an angelic human. And I have a CD that has the exercises on it with me guiding you through the exercises, so you don't have to just read them. You can actually listen and do it as you're listening to it.
So we have a few minutes. Is it possible to share a brief exercise with our listeners? Maybe not one that's in the book, but something else that they can kind of
access?
I
have the book right in front of me, so let me just grab one of my very favorites right here. Hold
Wonderful.
On a second, because I've got the phone in one hand and the book in the other. Let's do this one. Okay. This is a giving and receiving guided meditation, okay? So I'm just going to take you through it. First, I want you to just close your eyes and to just really sit comfortably with yourself. Breathe, just breathe in and out very easily. No special breath, just breathe so that you're relaxed and it's easy breathing. Now take a nice big breath. Let it all out. And imagine a long round tube, the pranic tube, extended down through the top of your head, through the center of your body, and out between your legs down into the earth. Know that this tube is the pathway of divine life force. It is the liquid living light that fills your body and joins with you in the wholeness of oneness.
Great.
And now imagine a large ball of love centered directly in your heart chakra. Feel this love as the love of Mother Earth, the planet that gives you and all that you love sustaining life. Send this ball of love down the pranic tube into the Earth itself, clear into her heart. You are sending all of the love you feel for the Mother directly into her center. Envision her receiving this love and welcoming it into her core. Feel her respond with love by sending it back up through the tube and into your heart. Hold this feeling close within you. Cherish it. Embrace it. It is a part of you now.
Very powerful.
And now I want you to we're almost done. Now I want you to create another ball of love for the Father Source from which you are created. It makes no difference if you see Source of the Father or not. It only means that it contains the masculine energy of manifestation. Send your love for this creative power up the tube into the heavens, into space, the cosmos. Know that this is the love of your heart for its creator. Feel it soaring free into the void of all that is and being accepted and desired as a part of Source embracing itself. feel it respond with love by sending it back through the tube into your heart. Hold this love very close within you. Cherish it and know that you are always accepted and loved by the source of which you are an integral part. And now you hold the love of mother and father for you and your love for them in the trinity of that embrace, allowing it to fill your being. You may sit with this feeling, nurturing it within you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Mm.
So tell us, because we only have a couple of moments here, how people can get a hold of you, Tony, how people can access, get a hold of this book, this incredible book, The Call, Awakening the Angelic Human, and get to your website.
The easiest way is through a splash page that I put up, because I have three websites and I'm constructing a fourth presently. And the name of that website or that splash page is You Are Sacred, spelled out YOUARESACRED, youaresacred.com. And from there you can choose whether you want to go to Sacred Spaces, Angelic Human, or Heartstorm website. And it's real obvious, it's just one page. And all of those websites have my email information, my telephone number, and I respond to people's calls. I mean, I know some people call various people and they get a robo phone, but you know, I might get a voicemail, but I will call you back that same day. So I am very available from that standpoint, and my email is there as well. And also availability of signing up for my weekly newsletter, which is chock full. I do a new video every week. I've got like 300 videos up on YouTube. And each week I do a video and I write an article for the newsletter, so people might want to avail themselves of that information too.
Sounds wonderful. Tony, thank you so much. What is your final message to our listeners?
Oh, my final message is open your heart as wide as you possibly can and know this. Every single human being is doing the very best they can. If they could do better, they would. And if you will accept them in that way, you will see God before you.
So that's a wonderful message, too, of compassion. I love that, because that's really what we need, too, in terms of taking that loving information that you've just given us and sharing that with other people. Tony, it's been such a pleasure. I feel like I know you, and I love what you do, and certainly it benefits so many people. So thank you so much for taking your time out of a busy day to share with our listeners, to share who you are, your love, and your truth.
Thank you, Joanne. It's been wonderful.
Thanks again.
Thank you all for listening.
Have a blessed day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, I encourage you to go listen to Tony Petrinovich and really find out more about what she does. Really some very valuable information. And for those of you who are in Philadelphia or New Jersey or even Delaware in just a few short weeks, weekend of November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we're going to be doing a Mind, Body, Spirit Expo, and I'm going to be there talking about something that I've trademarked and that's very dear to my heart, self-sustainability, so you'll hear more about that. And speaking of hearing more about that, if you're interested to find out more about me and about the various articles and information that I do and the soul readings and the DNA readings and information, go to docwhite.org, find out more about my teaching and my coaching, and find out more about what we're going to be doing here, because we have so many different diverse guests and so much. And next week we're shifting gears. We have Betty Louise on, and we're going to be talking about something very, very, very different in terms of awakening your spirituality and sexuality. So please tune in. This is Dr. Joanne White, and I love what Tony said, because basically it is about feeling that sense of compassion. I'm kind of translating it a little bit for other people, for those people that you feel, maybe those are people that are the most annoying in your life, or you feel that they're not getting you or you're not getting them. Remember what she said, they're doing the best that they can. And when we do that, when we remember that, we're not screaming at people on the highway. We're not being intolerant of other people's slowness or intolerant of other people's errors or anything like that. We're understanding where they are at this moment in time. We're accepting it just like we're accepting ourselves. So I think that's also a message for us to accept ourselves, because oftentimes we are so impatient with what we're doing and wanting to be somewhere and not quite catching up with our ideal image. And if we have that idea, that feeling of self-compassion, that can help us be more tolerant, more patient, and more loving with ourselves. So this is Dr. Joanne White. It's been a pleasure to be with you and to share time with you. Have a blessed day, and tune in next week, next Wednesday, for Power Your Life.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.